Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Going on, everybody, and thank you again so much for joining us here today on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, but almost lost him, Mr. Kyle Filson on the rebound from, what did you have, the hantavirus? What did you have, Ebola?
I had dengue fever. Dude, I don't know what something. I had mad cow disease. So here's the day. Yes, folks, I'm here in studio. Nice to
We've
be here.
We've been delayed a little bit because Kyle was on his deathbed for a couple days.
So my granddaughter's second birthday.
He kissed a llama.
We had a petting zoo party, and we went to this place, and they had everything. You know, they got turkey, they got ducks, they got chickens, they got rabbits. It's kangaroos, goats, ponies, horses,
lions, tigers, and bears.
I'm just all kinds of stuff. Anyways, so we had a good time. I didn't think nothing of it. Although my granddaughter loves a pony, so I see the purchase of a pony in my future.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
And then I got home, and then I had to build her a playhouse that we bought her.
Yeah, I saw that. You'd show me that,
and it's got 8,000 pieces. Yeah. To it. Well, about halfway through the construction, it's got an arched doorway that you have to squat down to get in. So I'm building this thing all day. Realistically, I probably did 700 bodyweight squats. Well, the next morning.
How was your hammies?
The next morning, man, I feel like crap. My muscles are sore. I don't feel good because I don't know what I caught off one of those animals.
Yeah.
Mad cow disease or something. I don't know. But, man, I just felt like crap. And I texted you and I was like, dude, I'm not doing it.
You're like, I think I'm dying. I've got some foreign disease.
I'm out. I can't record today. But I'm totally fine today. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's also because you're old.
Well, that's part of
it. But you have that zero birthdays creeping up on you this year. It's right around the corner.
I mean, I've been working out some, mostly doing autographs. My right hand.
Getting up and down after building a playset. That's your workout.
Yeah.
That's your workout.
Yeah, and I brought you some peppers the other day from the garden.
Oh, dude, I made stuffed peppers.
Yeah.
Whipped those up. I got some salsa coming up. I'm going to tell you right now, the poblanos you grew, dude.
Really?
Dude, they're so good.
I've got more coming.
Okay.
And tomatoes.
As soon as y'all leave the house, I'm stealing them out of your backyard.
Yeah.
You're going to come in and been raided. I'm going to look like a hobbit has been through there and stole all of it.
Yeah. Well, that's good, man.
So
good to hear. Me and Luke went to see Disclosure Day.
Oh, how was that?
Steven Spielberg movie. Yeah. Kind of like we were just talking in studio before about some fighters need to retire. I think Steven needs to hang it up.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but it's not great. If you're a big fan of this show, you already know everything they're talking about, about aliens, UFOs. And
you think that's made for mainstream folks that weren't really you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're too close to it.
Yeah.
Like when this UAP stuff starts coming out, normals out there, they're like, what is going on? I'm like, yeah, you're not aware of that? You haven't seen
Mike.
That video?
I talked to Micah last week.
Did you?
Yeah. If you want to find out, just talk to Mike.
Yeah. Well, so it's not
the D-man.
It's not
what's up?
It's not a bad movie, so I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah.
I think it could have been shorter. There's 30 minutes extra that didn't need to be in there. Just wait for it to come out on Netflix or something and watch it. Yeah. I mean, but look, you're looking at a portfolio of some bangers. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the guy that made Jaws.
Yeah.
You're talking about the guy that made Indiana Jones.
Just two of my faves.
What else did he make? Goonies.
My faves.
I mean, E.T.
Bangers.
Saving Private Ryan. I mean, this
throwing
guy's
out bangers.
Got a lot of bangers. So in the scale of those, nah, this doesn't compare.
This is just hey, you can't hit a home run every time.
And we got a new
Who
one.
Do you think you are, Clint Eastwood? You can't just direct to your 98 years old, just crushing banger after banger.
Well, even him, the last couple movies have kind of not been that great.
Did you miss what I said? He's 98, Kyle.
I know.
If he makes a few mistakes in his 90s, it's okay.
Speaking of birthdays, did you see the president's birthday party?
I did. I watched the Freedom 250 fights. Are you pretty kidding? Good. I can't miss that.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
Yeah, because I'm friends with a guy that's good friends with Justin.
Oh, okay.
Right. Like it's one of those deals because I always talk to him. And when I say, I mean, like, they're real close and all this stuff. So it's one of those deals.
Man, it was really cool. The cool setting, too.
Oh.
I forgot it was on. When you text me and I'm like, but it's Sunday. Why would they have a UFC on Sunday? I thought it was going to be on the 4th of July. I really did.
Yeah.
And so I clicked on. I'm like, oh, there it is. I was watching the Stanley Cup at the same time.
Yeah.
So once the Stanley Cup was over,
the Canes rung it in, you were like, all right, I got to go watch somebody else get punched in the face.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool.
I will say this, and then I got a story to tell. The coolest thing about the fights to me was how it was shot with the walk-ins.
Oh, I love it.
It was so cinematic. They really went above and beyond to film the walk-ins. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. I really enjoyed seeing all that stuff. My wife enjoyed it because, you know, they had gone to D.C. this past year. So, yeah, I mean, she's like, oh, I remember this and this and gone through we got to do the White House stuff.
I think Poirier could have been a little bit more respectful walking through the White House or walking past that hall with all the presidents.
You think?
He just didn't look like he was interested.
Yeah. Well, he's focused on the fight. Not focused enough. Anyway, speaking
of
not
stories,
focused
man.
Enough, I've got something for y'all that comes from Big Bear Lake, California, folks. This took place on February 27th, 2017. It says the night of the February 27th, 2017. During the early hours, I was staying at the Best Western in Big Bear. Now, I can't say Big Bear without thinking of Super Troopers. You remember the song, Big Bear, he's iron tough. I can't every time. So at approximately 12:35 a.m., I walked alone to my car to retrieve my luggage. It had been snowing and the area was extremely dark. My car was facing a country road. So when I pressed the unlock button, the parking lights and interior lights came on. The illumination allowed me to see two eyes reflecting from the middle of the road, approximately 10 to 15 feet away. Mm-hmm. Now, at first, I thought it was a deer. I've lived in Colorado and I'm accustomed to seeing wildlife. I immediately stopped moving because I didn't want to frighten what I'd believed was a deer. So as I looked downward, however, I realized that it was not a deer. It looked like a white, hairless, naked man.
Nope.
Moving on all fours.
Nope.
The
nope.
creature. The creature appeared to be at least 4 foot tall, crouched on all fours based on its proportions. I believe that it could have been approximately. You ready for this?
Yeah.
15 foot tall if it had stood upright, like a giant spider person. There was a brief moment when our eyes met. Turn around. No. And then it turned and ran away from me faster than any animal I had ever seen. Its speed reminded me that of a cheetah. Well, if you're 15 foot in length, you've got some pretty good stride, right? The creature ran directly toward a tree and climbed straight up the trunk. I was frozen in disbelief, and I said aloud, "You've got to be kidding me."
Right?
Just as I began to try and convince myself that this could not possibly be happening, the creature leaped from treetop to treetop. I could see its entire outline as it moved above me. I had never heard of such a creature, although I later found videos and some photographs online depicted beings that looked very similar to what I saw. The speed and strength it displayed were unlike anything I had ever encountered. It was unquestionably solid and physical. Before it turned away, it appeared to be moving toward me. I have often wondered whether it had been stalking or hunting me. I do not know what caused it to retreat. Perhaps it was startled when the vehicle lights came on. The creature had no visible genitalia, but it possessed several disturbingly human characteristics. That's describing Kyle. The moon was nearly dark that night, and there was a creek.
The moon was nearly dark. That's an odd description.
The moon was nearly dark that night. Yeah. It was a waxing gibbous, sir. And there was a creek across the road. I don't know whether either detail had anything to do with what happened. I was also approximately one day away from beginning. You don't want to know about the rest of this. I had seen a large-eyed gray alien. or had I seen, a large-eyed gray alien, the experience might have made more sense to me because I've heard stories about these beings. This creature was completely outside of anything I was familiar with. Nothing about its movement made sense. Not its speed, not its agility. All of that seemed physically impossible. The way it moved from treetop to treetop, the trees should not be able to support its weight or its size. As it sprinted up the tree, it said its body appeared to flash or flicker, similar to that of a television picture breaking up after losing reception. I rushed back to my hotel room and immediately called my father. My son was asleep and I was understandably in shock. At that point, nobody knew which hotel I was staying at. While I was crying and speaking to my father, the hotel room telephone rang. When I answered, there was only a dial tone. A short time later, someone or something knocked on the hotel room door. When I checked, nobody was there. That commotion awakened my son. So I didn't want to frighten him, so I told him I had experienced a scary dream. I gave my father the hotel's name and location, and he advised me to take my son and wait in the lobby. As we prepared to leave the room, another knock sounded. This time it came from the sliding glass door at the rear of the room. The door opened out onto a private fenced-in patio. This was a one-time encounter, but I continued to live in fear because of it. I was raised a Christian, and this humanoid does not fit into any category with which I am familiar. I do not know why this happened or what I'm supposed to learn from the experience. I have later noticed that the hotel's telephone number contained six numbers in succession. Now, I don't know whether that had any relationship to what occurred, but it has added to my uneasiness. She goes on to talk about some of her feelings and what ended up happening there. But basically, saw some sort of human. It sounds, again, like we talk about the pale crawlers. I don't know if you want to call them rakes, but, you know, because it started out as like this was just a story from online, and now it's progressed into now it's worldwide. People see these things all the time. But a 15-foot tall, possible pale, spider-like being.
And it was flickering in and out, like it was interdimensional.
Yeah, it was trying to get its flesh jacket download.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And then it seemed like something was jacking with her the rest of the night.
The whole time. With her. Yeah, the whole time. Knocking on the doors, messing with her, the whole deal.
It can sense your fear.
Dude, that's the only thing it can. It's got to be. That's how it feeds. It's got to be the only thing. So a terrifying, giant, creepy gray encounter.
Check this out. It says, hello. I've been a huge fan since nearly the start of the podcast.
Hey, word.
In fact, you're the first podcast I ever listened to. I've been wanting to tell you guys the story of what happened to me when I was just a kid. As in all my years of reading and listening to paranormal books and podcasts, I have never heard of anything similar.
All right.
It was at my house when I was around 7 years old, playing at the top of my driveway. We lived on a hill with a long driveway at the time, so I could always play on it without any trouble. I was playing there when I looked down at the end of the driveway. A figure was walking up it. They were humanoid in shape, but really weird looking. It was as if there was a mirage in a desert. They were all blurry and did not appear solid, yet they were clearly there. They were palish, except for their stomach, which was more white in color. They had no features, and their entire body looked as if it was a heat mirage, yet it wasn't even summer or even hot out. I remember I looked at it without fear, and I said aloud, "I'm not afraid of you." Which was a weird thing for me to say. I was a kid. Such a thing probably should have terrified me. Then all at once, it vanished. And in its place was my mom in her Jeep coming up the driveway. She was not pulling in, but already coming up it right where the figure had been. I did not even see her pull up. It was as if the figure had almost blocked her from my view. I also want to state that I know it for certain. It was not my imagination. I remember imagining stuff as a kid, and I did not literally see them like I did this thing. Whatever this thing was, it was like nothing I've ever heard of before. I've had a few other events in my life that I have no explanation for, but this was the first and weirdest, so I wanted to tell you guys. Who knows, maybe you guys have heard of something similar before. John.
Oh.
I don't know what you saw, John.
No.
It kind of has similarities with Glimmer Man sightings, you know, with the mirage effect, the it's cloaking itself. But then outside of that, I have no idea. And how it was able to hide your mother's Jeep coming up the driveway. I have no idea. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe you were just so focused on what this thing was that you didn't quite notice her.
Maybe something was in front of it passing by.
Yeah, it's possible.
That it caused it to look like that, too, that was part of this whatever's going on.
Yeah, maybe.
Dude, that's unsettling as all get out. You know what? Speaking of unsettling, I'm going to stick with tall things.
Okay.
Tall things. Get a load of this. I commute to my job. It's a retail position, but I live in a rural area in the Southern California foothills, and it is currently my only option. I drive home every night at around 1 a.m., and I usually take the highway. Now, it's always deserted at that hour. Some nights have seemed more peculiar than others, but nothing had ever happened that was as extreme as this incident. It's not uncommon for me to see wildlife during these drives. I normally take it slow and remain alert. Now, I occasionally see black-tailed deer, coyotes, raccoons, and of course other critters. So one recent night, I was approximately 10 minutes from home when I approached the usual four-way stop. I had stopped at this intersection hundreds of times before, and there was no one or vehicles anywhere around. And as I came to a complete stop, I just noticed something standing right off the side of the road on the opposite side of the intersection. It was obviously an animal, and it appeared to be moving towards the highway, so I decided to wait and let it cross. Now, it took me a moment to understand exactly what I was seeing. At first, I thought it was a horse. Although a loose horse would have been dangerous, it would have not been entirely uncommon where I live because local ranchers sometimes have problems, of course, with broken fences. As the animal moved closer to the illumination from my headlights, I realized that something was seriously wrong with it. It was extremely tall. Its legs were so long and thin that they looked like stilts. I sat there in shock as it slowly stepped onto the highway and moved directly through the beam of my headlights. And at that point, I realized two things. First, the animal appeared to be much taller than my car. Its height was monstrous. And second, its gait was incredibly strange. It moved as though it did not understand how a deer was supposed to walk. It seemed as though every joint in its legs wanted to bend in the wrong direction. The creature moved slowly into the oncoming lane. It then swiveled its head and looked back at me. Every hair on my body stood up. What disturbed me the most was that it was unquestionably a deer, or at least something that looked exactly like one. Everything about it appeared normal except for the long, spider-like leg supporting its body. At that point, I hit the accelerator and sped away. The deer remained completely motionless as my car passed. I looked into my rearview mirror and caught one final glimpse of the animal. It was crossing back through the oncoming lane toward the shoulder of the highway. My brake lights illuminated it in red as it disappeared from view. When I reached home, I ran inside and locked the door. I am still understandably freaked out by what I saw, Deshaun. So, a 12, or better, just a giant spider-like not deer. So again, second thing with this spider-like appendages, just the way it's working.
Right, and the not deer phenomenon. Uh-huh. It's like something mimicking a deer, but not pulling it off right.
Yeah, not even close.
What is that?
Yeah, not even close to pulling it off right.
And why can't they get it right?
If I don't
it
know.
Is, you know, trying to, you know, confuse somebody.
They're pretty easy to observe. You think you could be able to watch a lot of deer.
It reminds me of John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh,
where
every
the organism would replicate itself, whatever it kills, it would then transform into that. It's like that, but it can't get it quite right. So it absorbed the deer.
Yeah.
Tried to make itself look like a deer, but messes it up.
Yeah.
But it's, why is there not camels? You know, why is there not kangaroos?
Horses. Why don't we have not horses?
Right.
Yeah.
Not deer.
Not raccoons.
I don't know. I got another pretty interesting one, but let's take a break first. We got to pay some bills around here. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Today's episode is brought to you by the fine folks over at IQ Bar,
what?
Our exclusive snack, hydration, and coffee sponsor. Now listen, when you're 4 hours deep into a rabbit hole connecting ancient cave paintings to alien grave visitation, and somebody sends you a grainy photo of a pale crawler allegedly spotted crossing the road into your cul-de-sac, you're going to need fuel. Not just for your body, for your increasingly endangered sanity. That's where IQ Bar comes in. IQ Bar protein bars, IQ Mix hydration mixes, and IQ Joe mushroom coffees are low-sugar, delicious, brain-fueled designed to keep you sharp, hydrated, and capable of forming complete sentences while arguing with strangers online about shadow beings not just being a figment of your imagination.
Here we go.
And if you're new to IQ Bar, the ultimate sampler pack is the perfect way for you to begin your journey into nutritional enlightenment. You get 9 IQ Bars, 8 IQ Mix hydration sticks, and 4 IQ Joe coffee sticks. That's basically enough supplies to survive a 3-day stakeout waiting for Sasquatch to reveal itself and accept the mint chocolate chip protein bar that you've left on a gifting tree. That's right.
Heck yeah.
And the flavors are fantastic. You'll get flavors like almond butter chip protein bars, blueberry pomegranate hydration mixes, vanilla spice mushroom coffee, and all kinds of seasonal flavors that appear and disappear with the same level of mystery as livestock mutilations in the American Southwest. With over 20,000 five-star reviews, we're clearly not the only weirdos out there trying to optimize our brains while discussing pale crawlers. IQ Bar has generally become part of our daily routine. No jokes, folks.
For real.
Whether I'm starting out the morning with IQ Joe, grabbing an IQ Bar on the way to the studio, or mixing up an IQ Mix after working in my garden, it's always nearby. The point is, whether you're gardening, blacksmithing, like Cam, researching cryptids, or preparing for interdimensional contact, or just trying to make it through another Tuesday, IQ Bar fits right into your routine.
That's right, folks. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast that's you guys, 20% off of all IQ Bar products. That includes the sampler pack, and you get free shipping.
Yes.
And to get your 20% off, it's easy. You text the word expanded. Y'all know the deal.
You know how to text?
Expanded to 64,000. That's EXPANDED to 64 and 30s, y'all. That's expanded to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Yes, here we go.
Listen to this, Cam. It says, hey, guys, I'm finally getting around to writing this down. The event I'm about to describe happened near my home in Blount County, Tennessee. One day, while driving to work on a 2-lane county road that leads into the city of Maryville, I experienced something truly unusual. The road passes by a few small farms and fields on its way into town. As I was driving, I noticed movement in a field on the left side of the road. The field had been freshly plowed, and at first, I thought I was seeing smoke rising from the soil. Curious, I slowed my vehicle down to get a better look. The closer I looked, the more I realized it wasn't smoke at all. Instead, I saw glittering lines spiraling upward in a counterclockwise motion. These lines rose about 2 to 3 feet in the air. For some reason, I couldn't look away. The spiraling lines reminded me of a DNA strand, with glittering pieces inside the spiral. Upon closer observation, I realized that there wasn't just one spiral, there were 6. They were all identical, spinning in the same direction, and arranged in a bowling pin formation. 1 in the front, followed by 2 more a couple of feet behind, and then 3 in the back. Something inside me wanted to stop the car and get out for a closer look, but I knew I had to snap out of it and focus on the road ahead. There was a sharp 90-degree turn coming up, and I didn't want to risk hitting the old rock wall at the end of the road or ending up in a ditch. I wanted to turn around and take another look, but there wasn't an easy place to do so, and I was already running late for work. The strangest part of this experience was that it should have only taken me 3 or 4 seconds to drive past the field. However, when I glanced at my clock, 2 or 3 minutes had passed. I drive past this field twice a day and haven't seen anything unusual since that day. This happened 5 years ago, and I still hope to catch sight of it again, but so far, no luck. I have no idea what those spirals were, why I saw them. I wasn't frightened, if anything. I felt lucky to have witnessed something so extraordinary. I often wonder what they could have been. Spirits, a portal, an elemental, or perhaps fae. Your guess is as good as mine. I'll keep watching and let you know if they ever appear again. Amy. So when she was first describing it, before I knew that there were multiple spirals, when I just thought of one, I thought, well, it could be like a dirt devil. You know, like they will spin.
Yeah.
And maybe it was some strands of the wire that keeps hay bales together. So it looked like spirals.
Like round bale twine or something.
Yeah. And so, and then maybe there was just loose debris in the center of it. That's why it looked like something. Because she said it looked like a DNA strand. You know what?
Yeah.
Spinning counterclockwise. But then when she said there were 6 others, all spinning in the same direction, and they were lined up like bowling pins.
It makes me think
of
like
a flying
orbs.
V technology, a flying V formation, chevron, if you will. What is the one with the Mighty Ducks do? Where they
that's the Mighty V, isn't it? The flying V.
I think that's what it is. But anyways, when you describe it like that, man, I have no idea what in the hell you're looking at.
It does. It feels like an orb sighting. Because you always see like multiple orbs. It's like, are those the things that make the crop circles? Are the little spinning things that they have going down?
Yeah, maybe.
Right? The way it works? Because I saw something recently. There's been another crop circle pop up.
There's one in the Disclosure Day.
Is there?
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe it was something like a mothership way up above in the clouds, and that was something on the ground searching for stuff.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, could be.
Because how many times on these downed UFO crashes do you hear about other ships going around shining lights looking for stuff?
Like
the occupants or whatever. Or whatever.
Rescue mission. It was a rescue mission.
They're trying to get the black box from the inside before the government gets
that's
it.
That's right.
Before Bob Lazar gets his thick fingers on that thing.
Dude, that's pretty wild. I mean, because like we've all seen dust devils, right? You see them.
Well, I don't know if everybody does. We have them down here all the time.
Yeah, little water spouts where they run across the river or run across the tank or something like that.
As a kid, I used to always try to get in them.
Oh, yeah. You always try to run over there to them and grab them or do something.
Throw stuff into them.
But to think of them as like uniformed and set up in a design.
In a formation.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
And I wonder how light out it was.
Well, I wonder if it was a ship, like you said, but it was a ship maybe lifting off.
Yeah, maybe.
It was one sitting there hovering.
You didn't look up to see what was
maybe
above
it. It's cloaked.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there invisible. Like it's like Flight of the Navigator ship.
Or
just
like in Star Trek where they beam you up. It was beaming down Glimmer Man into that patch.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You just
doing.
Didn't stick around long enough to see it.
Good on you.
Or it was picking them up.
Yeah. Yeah. Could have been that too. Speaking of that too, I did a story not long ago about something right along this that I want to read to you guys. Let you catch a little listen to this. It says, my husband and I were driving through a low marshy area in St. Louis County in northern Minnesota. It was during the day and we were passing through a section of wetland where several upright dead trees stood. And as I looked toward the trees, I saw one of them literally walk several steps forward.
You did a story about a walking tree a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. The tree was approximately 12 foot tall. It was dark, decayed, and appeared to be rotting. Several of its branches resembled arms, extending from the bottom where what looked like 2 legs, which stepped forward into the thick muck of the wetland. I could not identify the type of tree. I was stunned and immediately exclaimed to my husband that I had just seen one of the trees walking. He had not seen it and apparently did not believe me, so he just continued driving. So I've contacted an Ojibwe elder and described what I had witnessed. The elder told me that the Ojibwe word mitig refers to a tree. He described what I had seen as a living tree, a traditional spirit protector of the woods. Mm. The elder told me that seeing it had been an honor and a gift. He suggested that I return to the location and leave an offering.
Yeah.
Possibly part of my meal and some tobacco.
Don't forget about alcohol.
Yeah. Says, I intend to return and I'm going to attempt to photograph it. The elder explained that the living tree probably would not appear again in physical form, but he advised me to leave the offerings regardless. CJ.
That's awesome.
A living tree.
I like the idea of it, but it does seem like...
Well, I like the idea that they could really be there, like treants, not as big, just normal-sized trees, treants, and you would never know it. How many would you walk by if they didn't want you to see it?
I wish I could get some to walk into my yard. I need more shade.
Right? I wish I could get one that just let me hang like a deer stand in
it. You can move it around?
Just kind of walk over there. Yeah. The wind's right. Walk over there.
You got to start leaving gifts.
I'm going to have to start gifting my mesquite trees and my cedar trees. Usually the only gift they give me is pollen in my face, those cedar trees. So, yeah, there's that.
That is cool. Listen to this, speaking of cool. It says, this comes from one of our listeners. It says, I wanted to share a quick story about something that happened to me while on vacation this past Sunday.
Nice.
My wife and I were hiking a popular waterfall trail just outside Gatlinburg, Tennessee. During the hike, we passed a small family cemetery with graves dating from the late 1800s and early 1900s. It just reminds me, Cameron, we were killing time in Franklin, Tennessee, when we were waiting to do BlurryCon.
Oh, to the Civil War.
And we had just stopped at that cemetery randomly.
Yeah.
Like, there was no reason to be there. We had to kill time. We pulled over and walked around. Those cemeteries like that are everywhere in Tennessee.
Yeah, all the old battle areas and whatnot. Yeah.
And so that's what I'm picturing in my mind. This is in Gatlinburg, so that's what it is. We decided to walk through the cemetery, and I took several photographs. While we were there, we noticed that many of the grave markers had coins resting on them. The denominations ranged from pennies to quarters. My wife is interested in history, and she explained that leaving coins on veterans' graves is a tradition. Depending on the denomination, the coin may represent the visitor's connection to the deceased veteran. My wife is not nearly as interested in the paranormal as I am. She does not believe in much of it, and that is where the problem may have started. While we were looking at the coins, she jokingly suggested that we should take some change and buy a soda after the hike.
Horrible idea.
To be absolutely clear, she was only joking. She did not touch or remove any of the coins, and she never would knowingly disrespect someone's final resting place. But still, she made the comment.
Mm-hmm.
After leaving the cemetery, we continued along the trail. We eventually reached the waterfall and later began hiking back towards the trailhead. Our return route took us past the cemetery again. As we walked by, I suddenly felt a distinct shove in the middle of my back. At first, I assumed my wife had been walking too close to me and had accidentally bumped into me. I immediately turned around and asked whether she had pushed me. She was on the opposite side of the trail, too far away to have touched me. I told her that someone had just shoved me from behind. I also suggested that her joke may have angered the spirit of someone buried in the cemetery. She laughed it off at the time. However, after we returned to our cabin, several minor issues arose. Her necklace chain was broke, and she misplaced a Swiss Army knife that she normally carries in her backpack. Neither incident was extraordinary by itself, but the thought of an angry spirit crossed my mind again. This time, it apparently crossed hers as well. The following morning, my wife said that she wanted to hike to the trail again, and she wanted to see the waterfall after the rain. We made a brief detour into the cemetery. She apologized for the joke and then left some coins on one of the grave markers. We then finished our hike in the rain. So far, nothing else unusual has happened. I will provide an update if it appears that the spirits were not satisfied. Peace, John.
Ooh.
That's a cool story, John.
That is.
But it does make you wonder.
Yeah. They're just letting you know. We're listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're listening.
Yeah. Don't mess around. It's not a joking
matter. Stop playing. Don't even play. But we're actually paying attention.
But at least she did apologize. Yeah, so maybe they forgave
me. Super sorry. I was just joking.
Yeah. If there's one thing you don't want to anger, it's not a dead spirit.
Well, apparently Civil War ghost can't take a joke. Well, so that's what I'm finding out.
I don't think comedy was a thing back then.
Probably not.
Look at the photographs. They're all like... No one even smiles in a photograph from the 1800s.
What was it in, like, A Million Ways to Die in the West? Is when Seth was talking about it, like, if you smile, you burst into flames.
Yeah.
Back then, like, you can't smile in photographs. It's like witchcraft if they catch you smiling.
Yeah.
I don't
think they were joking a lot.
They didn't have a lot to smile about.
No.
No, right? They're just like,
I mean, it was, I mean, imagine living in this country in that time, no, how hard it was.
Yeah.
The people there were way too soft now.
Yeah. We're getting, is there any air conditioning back then? Nope. Then no. It would not be a good day.
No.
It would not be a fun time.
And then you're fighting with the natives.
Yeah.
That are trying to kill you.
Just everything's trying to take you out. You got bears out there, man.
Yeah, there's no hospitals.
No.
You break a leg, that's it. You're done.
Rattlesnakes, bears. I'm good. You don't want to go out there monkeying around like that back in the day. And then you got a black powder rifle. You got one shot. Better make sure you keep the powder dry. That's going to be a real problem. Speaking of real problems, get a load of this. In 2009, I attended the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. I frequently felt overwhelmed by studying and assignments, so I spent most of my time indoors. One weekend, my roommate and I decided to temporarily abandon our schoolwork and go on an adventure. We agreed to visit, buckle up, y'all. You're going to like the way I butcher this one. It's Assateague Island. Assateague?
Where's this at?
It's Assateague Island in the, I guess it's in Maryland is what we're talking about.
Okay. Okay.
Assateague, I don't know. Assateague is what I'm saying. It's a barrier island and a wildlife refuge. I was especially excited about seeing the feral horses I had heard so much about. There do not seem to be many places where you can still observe horses roaming freely. We got some Mustangs up there. Okay. We decided to camp, and even though this was the off season and the weather was chilly, at least we would not have to deal with crowds. So we borrowed camping equipment from a friend who was an experienced outdoorsman, and we headed for the island. We stopped at the visitor center, where the rangers told us where we would most likely see the horses. They also warned us to secure all food whenever we left the campsite. We showed them the bear-resistant cooler we had borrowed, and they said that it would be sufficient. After setting up camp, we followed one of the recommended trails. We eventually spotted horses across an inlet. The rangers had told us to remain at least 40 foot away, so we were satisfied to watch them from a distance. Then a herd suddenly charged through the water and moved into the area where we were standing. Now, during our hike that morning, we had encountered what appeared to be three separate herds. We had binoculars and observed them from a safe distance, and by noon we were satisfied with our sightings. We returned to camp, cooked some food, and just relaxed on the beach. I was ready for bed early. After sunset, I crawled into my sleeping bag with a book and must have fallen asleep almost immediately. The next thing I remember was being awakened by something howling. Now, I'm familiar with the sounds of coyotes and wolves, but this didn't sound like either one. The cry was higher and more shrill. It gave me goosebumps, and I could sense that it was getting closer. So I convinced myself that it must have been one of the island's foxes, and I eventually fell asleep again. But sometime later, a horrible growl awakened me. It was low, guttural, and rumbling. I could hear something rustling outside the tent. The noises continued for what felt like half an hour before finally stopping. And eventually I managed to fall asleep again.
See, this is why you need an AR with an FRT.
Here we go.
You know what I'm saying? You rack that slide, son.
Just let it eat.
You got to do something. You can't just lay there and hope that 2 millimeter thick nylon covers going to stop it from getting in there.
Sheets going to keep it from just coming after you. The next day, we decided to explore the Wildlife Loop Trail. It was approximately 3 miles long and offered views of the marsh and forest. We spent a long time exploring, and by the time we headed back, we were both tired, and the sun was beginning to set. As we crossed the crest of a dune, we could see our tent in the distance. It appeared to be fluttering in the wind much more than it should have been. I could also see objects scattered on the ground around it, and I remember telling my roommate that something looked strange. As we approached, we discovered that the tent entrance was hanging open, the zipper had been pulled down, and the flap was blowing in the wind. Our sleeping bags, clothing, and camping equipment was scattered across the ground. At first, we thought someone had robbed us. We knew we hadn't left any food unsecured. The damage didn't look like the work of any animal because the tent's zipper appeared to have been pulled down in the same way a person would open it. There were muddy tracks covering the tent floor and the tarp underneath it. If I had not known better, I would have said that they were the tracks of an enormous dog. Our bags had been opened and everything inside of them had been removed and thrown around. The food that had been locked inside the cooler was also gone. Everything was covered in mud and sand. We stood there completely astonished. Then I heard the same growl that had awakened me during the night. I was instantly terrified. I cannot adequately describe how primal that sound was. My roommate and I rushed out of the tent. The growling seemed to be approaching from behind the trees. We both screamed when the creature emerged. It was enormous, and it resembled a werewolf. It appeared to be 6 or 7 foot tall with the body of a huge wolf, but the torso was more like a man's. It had a long muzzle, visible fangs, and a hunched back with massive shoulders. The creature was eating something. It stood sideways to us, so I could not clearly see its eyes. When it howled, the sound resembled a human scream. And I never looked directly at us. The creature finished eating, turned away, and disappeared into the trees. We were physically shaking after seeing it. We knew we had to leave immediately. We pulled everything from the tent, shook it off as much of the mud and sand as possible. We threw all the equipment into the trunk of the car, and we raced out of the campground. We stopped at the ranger station, but it was after hours and no one was there. We didn't know what else to do, so we drove home. I called the ranger station the following day and described what we had encountered. I still have no idea whether they believed me or thought we had simply imagined the entire thing. Can you imagine? Look, this is just quick and easy. It came in, it found them, it waited for them to leave. At least it wasn't doing something like that before it acted out.
Yeah, there's no way I could imagine that.
I can't imagine seeing that, but looks like you did the right thing. If you're going to have a dogman encounter, that's the kind to have.
Well,
where you see it, it's gone. You grab your stuff. It got what it wanted. You brought hot dogs. Maybe you had some Uncrustables in there. I don't know. Maybe he loves that. Right? He dug out some juice boxes.
I keep IQ bars in mine. That's and right. Little Debbie's.
Capri Suns and Uncrustables come out of your bear box. It ate all those and bounced.
Well, I will say this, and I'll say it again.
You're scared of the dark. It's okay.
Love that. And if you're going to go in the woods and stuff like that, you need to have a gun with you.
It wouldn't hurt.
No, man.
It wouldn't hurt.
And just to double down, have one magazine filled with silver bullets. I mean, what's it going
to
hurt?
Oh, just to double down. Always carry extra mags.
I used to have these 30-30 rounds that had like a silver tip on the end of them.
Oh, yeah?
And the boys, when they're little, they'd ask. I'd always go, oh, those are my silver bullets. And they'd be like, what? And I'm like, oh, yeah, just in case. And they believed it.
Well, yeah.
And then they saw the movie. What's the one with the Stephen King movie?
Silver Bullet.
Yeah.
Where they make it.
Yeah. They saw that and they were obsessed. They're like, oh, man.
Dude, that's funny. Well, I will never forget Luke thinking that if you were out, anybody was outside when he was like 3 or 4, if anybody was outside during a full moon, you would turn into a werewolf.
Yeah.
And I'd never forget you doing it to him. Just being in the front yard going, like you were changing and him just freaking out at like 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, he didn't like
losing
that.
His stuff.
Well, that's the kind of stuff my father used to do to me when I was a kid.
Hence the reason that he watches horror movies like it's no big deal.
Yeah, I got a new one I got to go see with him about, I'm trying to remember what it was called. It's about the hippo attacks.
Is it like Escobar's hippos attacking people?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't remember the name of it. Oh, I can't think
of it. Boy, he picks out some top shelf bangers, don't he?
Yeah, he does.
He does, man. He does.
Speaking of top shelf bangers, we already mentioned Steven Spielberg earlier.
Yeah.
This story involves the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I just so happen to have the LP.
Do you?
Yeah, it's right there.
Oh,
it's the actual LP of all the stuff.
Yeah, I saw that in the studio the other day. Where'd that come
from? My daughter bought it for me. It's the actual
original.
No, my daughter got it for me. The original printing. It's the whole deal of Close Encounters, all the score and everything.
Do you have a turntable?
Yeah, she's got it. Yeah.
Oh, I was like, Luke has one.
I need to get one for myself. She's got a nice one and all that set up where she loves vinyls. So
does Luke. Luke has a whole collection.
Dude, they just sound good.
He has an original Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, nice.
That my mother-in-law gave him. She's like, oh, this is original. I mean, I bought this brand new in the 70s.
So my mother-in-law had given my son, like, most of her record collection, and he has, like, a ton of, like, original, like, Willie Nelson, Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, like, all of those, like, their first, like, 6 or 7 albums each.
And
on
those
LP.
Originals.
They're all originals, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she bought them back in the day. And then he's got some others because he, I mean, he anywhere we go, like anytime we're in Colorado, anytime we're in anywhere.
Yeah, just going to like an antique store.
Bro,
yeah.
That's right where he goes to try to find them.
I didn't realize until just like a week ago because we were looking for books for Aslan's birthday. We went into a Barnes & Noble. And they have a huge vinyl section.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. The one right there.
We're getting one here.
Right there on Hewlin. We went to Torchy's Tacos, and then we went to that Barnes & Noble, and I was like,
oh. Arlington Ridge.
Yeah. I need to bring Luke over here, because they had Alice in Chains, everything he likes. That's what he's into right now. He's really
He's
on an Alice in Chains kick right now. That and Tool. He's been listening to Tool.
Oh, a little Maynard Keenan, huh? Yeah, black crazy. Belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Back to this movie. When Close Encounters of the Third Kind was released, my aunt was visiting from out of town. I was just starting elementary school, and I went to see the movie with Aunt Jan and my grandparents. Now, during the movie, Aunt Jan became visibly disturbed. At the time, I didn't think much of it. She was considered the hippie in our otherwise uptight family, so I assumed she was simply overreacting. After we returned home, however, Aunt Jan suddenly blurted out, "Those are the things that that used to talk to me through the television in my bedroom when I was a child on the farm."
Easy now.
Now, my grandparents exchanged that familiar parental look. After an uncomfortable pause, my grandmother responded, "Jan, we did not own a television when we lived out on that farm. They came to your window." That statement shocked me.
Yikes.
My parents later moved into the same farmhouse after my grandparents built a new home. The bedroom I slept in had once belonged to my Aunt Jan. Despite what she claimed had happened there, I never saw anything unusual in that room.
I'd sleep in the garage.
My father also, listen, man, there's a place that I used to go and stay, and I'm not so sure I want to go stay out there by myself anymore.
You're not joking, man.
I need to get some clarification as to what went down.
We need to have a meeting about what happened out there before we decide we're going to go back out and stay again.
I know this is cryptic as hell for those that don't know what we're talking about. I will tell you the story when we have more data.
But we
need to warn guys like Chris, because they're out there too, and it ain't that far.
For real. For real.
You know what I'm saying? It said, my father also experienced something strange while driving from San Diego, California to Lubbock, Texas. His route took him through the White Sands Missile Range near New Mexico. In the White Sands Missile Range area in New Mexico. I almost said near New Mexico.
At that time, well, that's pretty near New Mexico. Yeah.
At that time, motorists could travel through the region via public highways that crossed the range. While driving through White Sands, my father experienced approximately 4 hours of missing time. When he reached the other side, those hours were completely unaccounted for, yet the vehicle still had a full tank of gas. About 3 years later, the southern high plains near Lubbock, Texas, experienced a significant number of cattle mutilations. Several of the affected animals were found dead directly across the railroad tracks from our farm. Of course, they were all dead, tore up.
Great.
My mother was a veterinarian. The sheriff called her to examine the animals and conduct necropsies. She found no footprints around the carcasses, not even tracks belonging to the cattle themselves. There was no blood on the ground, yet the animals appeared to have been completely drained. Reproductive organs had also been removed, but there was no visible bleeding around the wounds.
No genitalia?
None. None. At the time, we knew of no ordinary veterinary procedure capable of producing wounds that appeared to be that precise under those conditions. The press blamed the mutilations on satanic activity. That explanation never made sense to us. If people had performed some type of ritual, where were the footprints? Where was all the blood? A mature bull can weigh well over half a ton and contains gallons of blood. Bringing an animal of that size to the ground would not be easy, even for an experienced cowboy. Yet, there were reportedly no signs of a struggle. Later, the public school system told a small group of us that we had been selected for an intelligence study. The testing began when I was in the sixth grade. Ununiformed United States Air Force officers came to the school twice each year to administer these tests. My grandfather had served in the Air Force, so I recognized the uniforms instantly. There were only 14 students in this group.
Hmm.
We were told that every one of us had scored above 160 on the intelligence test. Except for band and sports, we were kept apart from other students and attended our very own classes. I eventually went into hospital finance. Several members of that same group later attended institutions such as MIT and Stanford. I've always wondered whether those events were connected. There were the beings my aunt remembered from the farmhouse window, my father's 4 hours of missing time near White Sands, New Mexico, the cattle mutilations examined by my mother, and then finally the Air Force personnel who repeatedly tested and monitored our small group of school, Karen.
Wow.
That is a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
What I mean are coincidences.
Coincidences.
For all that to be going on, I think your family's probably been tagged because
It
follows families around.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
Bro, that's wild.
Up there by Level Land.
That's wild.
Man, that freaks me out.
Yeah, 100% it freaks me out like crazy. All right, look, I'm freaked out enough. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll wrap this show up. But I've also got one more story I want to share with you guys, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And we are back.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? I don't know if we've even discussed this off air a whole lot, but we had talked about, you know, there's more and more coming out with those gifted programs back in the 80s where you're finding out that there may have been some wild stuff, right?
Oh, 100%. They were looking for people
to fit
in these programs.
Well, I guess I failed because I was in one of the programs, and that's back out when I was a kid, when I told you you used to have to go out and they would make you.
That was called resource classes.
That's probably true. They would read you stories, and then we had to get up singly, all right? So they would basically, we would sit in a room. I think I've talked about this. They'd be like 15 of us in this room. An adult would come in and stand up in front and read you a story. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Then leave the room. And then they would come in one at a time and take you. We had another adult in there. You couldn't talk amongst yourselves. Then they would take you to another room, get you on stage full of a room full of adults, and you would have to recite the story as best as you could remember it.
This really happened?
Yeah, this was a competition because I remember going to other schools to do this. I remember my dad being there at one point, and then I remember going to like several other schools, at least I think they were schools, and doing this program, getting up, and I did it for like a year. But what stuck out with me is we would have to drink this chalky, like white stuff in a cup. It was like almost like a medicine cup, and they gave it to everybody. And I never understood what it was all about and had basically forgotten all about it until literally within the last couple of weeks, more and stuff that's come up on my feed, and they start talking about that crap they had to have you drink.
Oh, other forums were stating what this was?
Other people are talking about this program.
And what were they saying?
The same thing. It's like it was some sort of program for like, I don't know if it's MK Ultra. I don't know what all this stuff actually links to, but mine went nowhere. So obviously I failed it because it's pretty simple.
Yeah, but that might be a good thing.
Oh, yeah, it may have been, because I don't know if it's real or not. Well, or if
in
it's
the 80s, don't forget,
talk.
That's when they were studying all the telekinesis, where they would have the cards, flash cards,
and
they could
that's
see.
That's what they're leading it to, is like, these were all tests done.
I remember that.
All the wild stuff like that, yeah.
I remember them.
But I never understood what the drink was about.
That's
unless
the wipe
there
your
was
memory.
Something in it. Yeah, yeah. Or it, maybe it's supposed to boost you in some way.
Well, you don't remember. They were knocking you out, and then they were doing stuff to
you.
They
probably were, and I think it worked like recession for me. It didn't advance me. It helped recess me even more. This is probably right around the time. It wasn't too long after that when I had the head injury, so it probably erased all the hard work that they put in.
Well, or the head injury erased what happened.
That's what I'm saying, and then they're like, well, we can't use you anymore. That one's broken. So
this guy's a mongoloid.
Yeah, I have. But it was just one of those things. Like I remember, because I've even asked my dad. You know, not my dad, my mother. I asked my mother about
Ask Grok what it was,
and she remembers. She was like, does. I remember you going and doing some of that stuff.
What school was that?
Back in Ranger.
Oh, in Ranger.
Yeah,
I don't remember anything in Weatherford like that.
Because you're a dummy. They didn't come ask you.
Yeah, they
anything.
Didn't select me. No. No.
I mean, why would they? What, were you going to be the before? But I remember this. But like I said, I only remember it being like, I don't even remember if it was a year. It was like,
did you win a ribbon
year.
Or anything at these competitions?
Yeah. You did well, you could progress. So they gave you exactly that, ribbons. I don't remember having any paperwork on it. I've gone, and I still have a few things from my childhood, but I don't remember anything of like receiving stuff. I don't remember what it was called. But I remember distinctly
well, and then this
that
person,
was the only thing.
The person before, the story I was telling, it was only her and like 14 other students that were in this program.
Yeah, they was only like 15 of us. There wasn't a bunch, and they were only from like three schools. It was like three people from our school. Like there was three or four schools, and that was it. They was only a small, because the schools were tiny, right? Like I think if I would have stayed there, I think my graduating class would have been like 28.
Right, yeah.
Right, so there wasn't many. And I may be completely wrong, like there was really nothing involved in it, and there probably wasn't. But I distinctly remember drinking that stuff. We all had to take it. And then I distinctly remember every time we did it, it was a different story. And they lasted, you know, they weren't long stories. It wasn't like you were telling stories for hours.
Right.
But it was like a 5-minute story or, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of them telling you the story.
Testing your listening skills.
Yeah. And your retention and then your ability to repeat it verbatim.
Mm.
So I have no idea, because the closer you got to the exact story, the better it was.
Yeah.
So you had to remember and lock it in and then go back
in. It makes you wonder if they were grooming for like a special program.
Why else would they do that? How's that help you in any other thing besides what I'm doing right now?
Yeah, right. They had no idea. Man, that is weird.
It doesn't make any sense. And I've never met anybody else that was like, oh, I did that too.
Well, because the people that are really good at it, they're in that jump room program.
Man, I wished I would have only been smarter. I could have jump roomed and talked to dolphins and all kinds of cool stuff.
You could still do that. You need lots of ketamine and you need like a float
tank. But now you're considered crazy. So I could have gone on to be great in like the MK Ultra underworld.
I think
and
about
instead,
that.
I'm stuck here with you.
I think about all the time. Man, I could have been great. And I think about that all the time. Yeah. I just never was.
No. Yeah.
Man, so I could have been great.
You, I could have been. But I guess I wasn't sharp enough, right? I just wasn't sharp enough to get through. Speaking of sharp, I got one more for y'all. This takes place in Sao Paulo, Brazil. You're going to like this. No date given. Here we go. My father likes to go to the sports club at the local university where he teaches. He uses the facility to run and exercise.
Hun. He likes to hun.
Is that
not
what it is?
R's or H's in Brazilian.
Hun. Oh, that's right.
He likes to hun and likes to hun and do what?
Exercise.
Okay.
Exercise. But I think it's only an H at the beginning of the letter. Like if the R is at the very beginning of the word, it's only pronounced H then.
That's why it's Hodger Gracie, not Hodger Gacy.
That's exactly right. You can't. Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Sounds good. It is a large athletic area.
Speaking of Brazil, I'm going to Texas Day Brazil Friday for lunch.
If I haven't stated it enough, I hate you. I wish I could read this like Renato Laranja right
now. You can.
No, I cannot. It is a large athletic area with swimming pools, soccer fields, basketball courts, and other recreational spaces.
Recreational.
He still goes there every now and then. The sports club is located near the exit towards the next town, close to where we live in the state of Sao Paulo, Brazil. My father usually walks there and takes a shortcut trail that climbs up a ravine and runs past a large eucalyptus plantation. By using this shortcut, he avoids walking another half kilometer uphill to the main entrance. Many people use this path, including local employees. One day, he went out for a hun later than usual, around 6:30 p.m. About an hour later, the sun had already gone down, and there were only a few minutes of daylight left. He was exhausted and decided to return by the same shortcut he always used. He did not think it would stop. I'm trying.
It's good.
He did not
think
it would be much of a problem because the full moon was already high in the sky. When he reached the edge of the woods, he noticed a figure standing among the eucalyptus trees. At first, it looked like a horse inside the plantation. He ignored it and kept walking, wondering whether he should tell someone. There are farms in the area, and some local farmers own horses, so it didn't seem impossible. As he continued along the trail, he began to feel uneasy, as if he was being watched. The feeling grew stronger and stronger with every step. After a short distance, he realized that the horse seemed to be walking alongside him from inside the trees. He looked again and saw that the figure was now behind a tree. That struck him as strange. Why would a horse be hiding? Even more unsettling, it appeared to be standing in a way that kept the tree exactly between them, as if it was deliberately using the trunk for cover. He tried to shake off that feeling and kept moving down the trail. He was already about halfway down when the fear became much more intense. He looked back again towards this figure, and as his eyes adjusted to the darkness, he could see it more clearly. It no longer looked like a horse. He saw the animal jump from behind one tree to another. The way it moved made it look like a very tall, powerful person. My father stopped in shock and stared at it. It remained behind the tree, partially hidden. He noticed something swinging from it. What he had first thought was a horse's tail
was
now looked more like the lower part of a long coat worn by a man.
That's not what I thought you were describing. Go ahead.
The darkness and the shadows of the branches made it difficult to understand exactly what he was seeing. He decided to ignore it and continue, telling himself that maybe his imagination was getting the better of him. But there was a problem. At the end of the trail, the path he was on and the animal's direction would eventually cross. That realization made him panic. He decided to turn back towards the field and take the avenue instead. As he started walking back, he kept his eyes on the figure. And for a moment, he even wondered if it might be a friend just trying to scare him. As he moved back towards the sports field where the lights were now on, he could see the silhouette better. It was a massive, muscular thing with a hunched back. It appeared to be covered in thick fur and appeared to have pointed ears. He stopped in total disbelief. The creature continued moving towards him. No longer as concerned about hiding, that was when his blood ran cold. The animal was approaching from the side, as if it was trying to cut him off or trap him. My father tried not to hunt. He did not want to attract attention or appear like prey, so he fast walked back towards the field, putting distance between himself and the trail. Then he took one last look. The creature was still there. It was crouched low in the bushes on all fours like a gorilla. It looked like a huge human dog. When they were about 100 meters apart, my father finally hand toward the main entrance on the avenue. He was relieved when he realized the animal had not followed him. He had turned home by the avenue, still on high alert and terrified by what had happened. Now, every time he goes there, he makes sure that he doesn't stay past dark, HG.
I wouldn't either.
A eucalyptus. So, look. All jokes aside, with the H's and all jokes aside, what drew me to this was the eucalyptus plantation. Because the first, when I think of eucalyptus, I always think of Australia. So now I start thinking of Yowie. So instantly I'm like, well, it makes sense. We got Yowies in Australia. Maybe there's some kind of connection to Yowies and eucalyptus. I don't know.
In Brazil, yeah, maybe.
And now we've got these things in Brazil with eucalyptus on the eucalyptus plantation. I don't know. I have no idea. It's just something wild. So basically, some sort of human werewolf dogman thing stalked this old boy in the dark. Look, it's all fun and games till it gets dark and, you know, the monsters are out.
Right? Yeah, right.
Like, it's cool to see them during the daylight. But when you see them like that, and all I can think of is like the light casting through like the bleachers at a football game late at night. Everybody's gone. It's dark in these areas, but it's well lit up and you've got enough distance where you can see this thing moving. Yeah, dude, it's time to book it and get home.
All I think is like favelas and like soccer matches, grappling going on.
And that the alien.
Yeah.
Dude, that alien story from Brazil might be, was it Varega? Vargina. It might be my favorite, like, alien story, hands down.
Yeah, because there's multiple witnesses. Yeah. And all over town.
Yeah.
I mean, there's even like
military.
They have
guys,
a statue of a UFO in the center of the town today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like commonly known. Like, oh, yeah.
You'd be crazy not to believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a wild story. If you have any wild stories you want to share with Cam and I and the listeners, do not hesitate. You can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call our hotline, 888-393-2783. Let's not forget about our wonderful sponsor, IQ Bar. Right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the Ultimate Sampler Pack, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text the word EXPANDED, that's EXPANDED, to the number 64,000, 64000. That's right, just text EXPANDED to 64,000, and you'll get that Ultimate Sampler Pack.
Word.
Plus free shipping. Cam, your family's about to head out of town. You're going to be all alone by yourself. You got any big plans?
I got to replace the flooring in my bedroom.
Ah, oh,
I have work
fun.
To do.
But at least it's probably easier when there's nobody to get in your way.
It's so
right?
much easier when nobody's here.
Yeah, like if my granddaughter comes over, forget doing anything.
You can't do anything. Yeah. No, no.
Unless it's with her.
No, 100%. 100%. No, I'm going to do that. I got to take care of my grand pig when my kids are out of town.
Oh,
so
okay.
I got to go over there, take care of him. Other than that, dude, I'm going to enjoy the quiet. I'm not saying that I'm super covered up with it, but like you said, my granddaughter comes over usually.
And I think you're like me, where you're her favorite. So you, 100%. You can't go, well, go hang out with Mimi or go hang out with
happen.
Your daddy. She's like, well, I don't want to
no,
be around them.
It doesn't happen.
I want to be around you.
Her and I are best friends. And she'll tell you, who's your best friend? She'll say, Grumps is my best friend.
I still think that you're
straight
Grumps.
Up, yeah, Grumps. Straight up. So Grumps and her, we're best friends.
I'm supposed to be Poppy, but she don't call me Poppy. She calls me Bobby.
So, damn it, Bobby. I love knowing
instead of,
this.
Instead of Big Poppy.
I love, it's Big Bobby.
Big Bobby. So hopefully she can pronounce it better as she gets older. But hey, look,
not.
I might just be Big Bobby.
Hey, and as long as she's calling you, that's all that matters.
Another nickname. How do I acquire
Dude,
them?
You literally are the man. I've probably given you 200 of them. But you really are the man of like 1,000 nicknames.
Oh, if, man.
If you die before me, I'm going to have to list them all.
If.
And read them.
I mean, when?
And I'm going to, dude, it's going to take 45 minutes to read them out. It's like a Patreon list of all the nicknames you got.
AKA.
Yeah, dude, and not everybody can hear all of them.
Well,
that's for Patreon listeners only.
Yeah, that's right, folks. Don't forget, if you want more Expanded Perspectives and you want to help us out, you can join Patreon. You can
Speaking of, I've got a crazy story coming up on this next one of a, let's just say, a possible chupacabra.
Oh, that
I'm
awesome.
Just going to leave it at that.
All right, word. And also, if you want a signed copy of the Glimmer Man book, you can just email the show, Attention Big Fizzy. Let us know. And all I need is a shipping address, and you got to pay either PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo. We take those and we'll send them out. I've already been sending them out. I made a joke about autographing lots of books. My right hand's sore. But so several of you, if you're wondering, I got an email today, a guy asking. I'm like, man, I've already shipped them. They should be coming. Yeah. I guess it depends on where you live.
Yeah.
And then we had a fella from England, and he wanted a signed copy, and I looked into it. It was going to be, I think, $130 to ship it. I emailed him back, and I said, hey, listen, I appreciate it, but just order it off Amazon.
Yes, like we said.
It's $15.
Yeah,
man.
I
appreciate it, but it's just not worth it.
We're not going to do that. Yeah, that's, maybe one day we run into you or something like that, but yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, speaking of running into people, the next place we're going to be in person is the Ducks Unlimited Expo.
Yeah, we're going back up there.
Yeah, so that's going to be end of July, like July 30th, 31st. No, I think it's July 31st, August 1st, and August 2nd.
It's your lab, bro. You can tell it every
Something like
want.
That. So if you want to go a really cool expo and you can meet us, we're going to be
it is
in Memphis,
cool.
Tennessee. It's awesome.
Whether you like to duck hunt or not, it's cool.
Look,
they
I don't duck hunt. I've
stuff.
Never been duck hunting.
He's not even a good deer hunter.
Doesn't mean I haven't killed a few ducks, but I wasn't legally hunting them.
I would love to try it maybe one time. Like we always talk about. And they wanted us to go, and y'all know how all that went, so we don't know. So we're going to have something coming.
I'm taking $200 just for meats and cheeses. What was the guy's name? Do you remember?
I've got his card.
He's from like Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, I got his card. Yeah, that's how you know you're getting older, is when you go off to all these expos and you don't come back with anything from the outdoors. You come back with meats and cheeses and roasted nuts and beef jerky and it basically food stuff.
Pickles, don't forget about the pickles.
Yeah, I bought a lot of pickles. Yeah. And they're not, the pickles around my house lasted literally a few days.
Yeah, I
mean. Gone.
Yeah, all right, folks. Well, that's about all the time we have for this episode. Be safe out there. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.